Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my two-year-old toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. This is Dr. Tony, and today I'm with a special guest. A lot of us, especially, we're recording and beginning of October 2021 in a pandemic life. And so many of us, I know myself, other working moms I know, we're a bit tired, worn out. Even pre-pandemic life, it's not unusual for us to have a lot on our plates and even potentially be trying to give from an empty cup, juggling a lot of balls that may be in the air. Hopefully not dropping any, but maybe doing that and really navigating this world right now and that we're in. It's different than our moms had. It's the world is a different place than it was for the women who came before us. I was talking to our guest Fran about, there's no guidebook, there's no rule book to live a life where we really are feeling kind of full of energy, full of purpose. And so I'm excited to talk to Fran today. So why don't I give you an idea of who Fran is? Fran Watson, after 18 years in a high profile career as a publicist in the film and television business, really found that she was really reaching burnout. She found that she was really not being able to keep up with all of the juggling of the thousand responsibilities that she had. So now she's really switched gears and Fran is a silver-haired woman in her 50s. She's a wife, mother, entrepreneur, a spiritual seeker. And for the past years, 6 years, a passionate spiritual guide, teacher, midwife, healer, and coach. And she is really works to help people just like you discover your soul work and fill up with clarity and confidence to really help people step into the life that they were born to live. I'm really excited to talk to you today, Fran. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about what I love to talk about.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So, before we started recording, we were talking about, the fact that, we're... As women, we are do have a lot of to juggle, and you live this yourself with all of the responsibilities, and how a lot of us are struggling with fatigue, being worn out, being burnt out, and I really, especially in hearing about you and being a coach using the art of feminine presence. I was really intrigued because there is this, this idea of us moving away from our kind of feminine and really who we are, especially when we are, and I find that I can, try and be everything at once, being a mom, being in the working world, especially running my own business, being an entrepreneur as a naturopathic doctor, as well as, being a partner in a romantic relationship, having a home life. It sometimes can be overwhelming and can really, be draining. tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the work you do and how you even start to kind of help women to navigate, you know, where they're at and you know, any kind of running on empty that they're at. And I know it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a big topic, and one I completely identify with and understand. And I think so much of it starts with learning and teaching people to come back home. And when I say home, I mean back to themselves inside their body. And you're a naturopathic doctor, so you have a version of that and what that means physically, health-wise, and so forth. And then there's the life force under that. And that moment of tuning into who am I underneath all of this, all of these roles? Who is this person who's breathing, living, showing up, was born for a reason, and connecting in just to that being? That's one of the very first things I teach, is just that, how to tune into the physical body. So noticing, where do I feel pain? Where do I feel flow? Where do I feel in myself versus numb or overstimulated? Just actually noticing the physical sensations of the body, and then noticing how we feel emotionally. It shocks me, Dr. Tony, how many people cannot identify what they're feeling at any given moment. If you can't feel your feelings, then how can you know what you want or don't want? And then how do you make decisions about how to go forward, except by reaction and except by the measures outside ourselves, by what's expected of us, what we were taught we had to do, what the culture. So everything is oriented from the outside in instead of the inside out. And because we have no measuring stick within ourselves that says this feels good, or we kind of know it feels good, but we don't know why or what. So cultivating this skill of feeling my feelings is part two of a tune-in. And then the third is to recognize how I'm transmitting my body and my feelings out to the rest of the world, because that really affects how other people experience us and how we relate. What we're putting out reflects what we get back. And so if we're dissatisfied, it's usually because there's an emptiness starting right in this place. And so we don't know how to convey what it is we truly want, what we truly need, and connecting to that on a regular basis. So that's step one in the world of overwhelm, is to stop, stop and tune in.
Yeah.
And from there, I work with women to understand their biological nature. So that aspect of feminine versus masculine, not one is better, but we each have a biological essence, that which makes us female. What does the essence of a poodle versus a pit bull, you know, that thing that makes them them, even though each dog is individual, there's something that makes the whole species of dogs different than cats. And then the subcategories, well, we as women and men have that thing that makes us different from each other biologically. And 95% of women are going to be happier in that primary essence, which is a little bit more flow, much more connected to being. There's sensuality, and by that I mean not just the sex piece, but the five senses, that skin, what is it touching? What are my eyes feasting on? What is my mouth tasting? What do I smell? And what are the sounds crossing my ears as the moments go by? And so there's a much more being aspect to the feminine side, whereas the masculine is more directed, more focused, more driven to get stuff done. It's that appears to be more productive, but it's just the doing versus the being aspect, right? Mm-hmm. We all have to be all of it. We all have all of it in our being, but a lot of us as women in the overwhelm, It's because we've pulled ourselves so much to the masculine essence, because that's what gets rewarded in our culture over the last, I don't know how long, certainly 75 years. And with the feminist movement, which I'm a huge proponent of, don't hear me as that, but it's like compete. We can be ambitious. We can be all of that. We can lead countries. We can run businesses. And we, you and I are. And we do it with great accomplishment and success. And when we do it, thinking we have to do it from that masculine, productive, go, go, go side, to the expense of that space that we need to claim to come back home, come back to that feminine space, to flow a little bit more, to operate more from the lower part of our body than the heart or the head exclusively, we burn out. We are not tapping into our natural gifts as fem, as, and that primary female essence. So there's ways to cultivate that. So I teach some of that to some of my clients about what do you feel in your body, like the senses, and just connecting back to simple. It's so simple and profound, but we can get a lot done from that space. But it's like going to the farmer's market to get our shopping done versus Costco. Right?
Yeah.
So I use a different experience. I use that analogy of New York versus Hawaii, or, you know, Safeway is very neutral in the middle, but this where the senses can come alive, get the same work done. We just have a way of doing it that's so much more pleasing to our bodies. How we create the space that we choose to work in. Mm-hmm. How do we ground ourselves before we go there and stuff like that? Instead of just going, I've got a list, I've got to get it done.
Right. And definitely, I mean, whether it's the past 75 years or even longer, I mean, there's
longer probably.
there's a certain amount of like rejection of the feminine. You know, overall in cultures and, you know, many different societies around the world. And definitely as you're speaking about this idea of like really tapping into the feminine, I mean, my mind just automatically goes back to, you know, the things that we decide when we were young, the things that I decided when I was young, about, you know, having to play nice, or even just seeing the feminine as weak, as less than, and because, like you said, it's not celebrated, it's not rewarded, in society. So do you find that there is a lot of that kind of rejection of the feminine, or is it just, or is it even a combination of feeling like it has to be more masculine, just the way society is set up and the way, you know, we're wanting to succeed, jumping into the working world that, again, our grandmothers or ancestors weren't?
I think it's both. I think that there's been a profound rejection. I mean, it's always been seen, just because, first of all, hormones, you're the expert on this, but hormones, because they shift and move around throughout the day, we can appear unstable. But because we operate more from our emotions, and emotions are a beautiful kaleidoscope that's changing moment by moment, and how we express that. So we can be big and bright and beautiful. We can be small and quiet. And that is a kaleidoscope of humanity. But most of us don't get the chance to play in that field, because it doesn't feel safe, because it isn't predictable, because it isn't the same every day. Hello, men aren't either. But I think the women, you're the expert on this, but I would guess that, well, my own experience, my hormones were much more volatile, especially at this lovely age. I had my son at 43 and I had the hormones coming and going, right? Like, here I am nursing and, oh, hello, menopause and all of that. I thought I was going to lose my mind. And so There's that piece. So it always appears like you can't count on it.
Yeah.
From a masculine predictability, this is what we got to do. And I think we've shut it down, but I also think it hasn't been safe over the millennia for women, because we tended to operate more in relationship to the natural cycles of the earth, right? And that became, as culture, Western culture in particular, began to regiment, I think we've lost a lot of that, and we live by clocks instead of by sunlight and things like that. So I'm really riffing, but I do feel like there's a lot of reasons. It's also seen as ditzy, like unreliable. And when people first connect to this work, and I'm showing them what it's like to live in the lower half of their body, they're like so surprised. And it's such a subtle, it's just an awareness of where you put your attention. But between the hips and the belly and that kind of movement, there's just so much more joy there. But we really haven't connected to that. It's all been pouring out from the heart or from the head and the lists and the to-dos. And we just started to operate that way because it's familiar, because it's what gets rewarded. And it's how we've been taught to get things done.
Right. And we haven't necessarily been taught anything different than that, right?
I certainly wasn't. And my mom was born in, she was 92 when she passed away, but she was born during, you know, was a kid during World War II in England. And it was, you know, she raised five children. She was a stay-at-home mom, but she had a lot on her plate. She was a very busy woman. And there wasn't time to feel. So even those who were staying at home with their kids and all of that weren't any better at it than I am now. Like, I've learned from somebody else who taught me. My mom was not skilled in this stuff, even though she was at home. So it really isn't about whether you're in business or not, or what you choose to do. It's where you're living from inside yourself.
Absolutely. And especially, like you said, even kind of going back to what you were saying about, you know, the idea of us as women, or even the feminine being unstable, being unpredictable, because absolutely, you know, with our hormones really working on a monthly cycle. And this is definitely something that we've talked about in previous episodes. So we'll definitely, you know, link in our show notes to the episode where we were talking more about cyclical living while you're having your menstrual cycle. That's one thing. So, you know, definitely there are daily rhythms that I think men are more connected to. And it's, again, the idea of that, you know, a kind of masculine dominant kind of culture and society, like you described us shifting into, instead of really more paying attention to those monthly cycles and that are in us as women, you know, when we're menstruating. But then as we are shifting into menopause, there is still that connection to that monthly moon cycle and that connection to the earth that even you were talking about. And that's, I think, again, something that's been kind of lost in dominant culture, but something that we can still tap into. And yeah, it is about really paying attention in a different way than before, right?
It's just the much more subtle. It's not subtle once you stop and go there, but it's hard to give ourselves permission because we're so unfamiliar with what we'll find. And it can be daunting or intimidating, or like there's just a fear related to it because it hasn't been safe, you know, for all, because it does connect to our primal being. And that hasn't been safe over thousands of years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a sense that, again, that not being safe, you know, is really looking at tapping into kind of that intergenerational trauma, like that.
Exactly.
That's
a
piece
part of the work I do is clearing that.
Yeah. You know, what we've I guess that you know, what we've inherited from our maternal lines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even goes on there all the time. And it may take us a few generations to get there. I'm hoping not.
Fingers crossed.
Right. Like here we are. We're hopeful.
Yes.
But I, you know, yeah, it's a big gaping wound that's missing in our culture. And the pandemic could be bringing us back into it very much more quickly in a way, even though we all are exhausted in that. But I think that place of being home more, having to be home more, and people are coming back to themselves and making different choices. They are, you know, it's showing up all over the place in the news.
Absolutely. And I find the conversations that I have with women, you know, yes, there can be a lot of anxiety and uncertainty around, you know, what life looks like now, even, you know, from week to week of how we, you know, navigate our lives and manage our households and that kind of thing. I mean, even just as an aside, I was, you know, talking to a woman last week who said she was crying at work because there was rumors of, you know, the schools shutting down and going back to online, and just the overwhelm of emotion around having to shift her life around that was, you know, again, she just was letting it out. And there's, I mean, there's that piece. And then, like you said, there is this opportunity to slow down and to reevaluate and really to ask, you know, okay, what is working in my life and what's not working? And do we just plow through and you know, do business as usual or keep our lives as kind of status quo? Or do we take this opportunity to really stop and shift things? And I definitely, again, have talked to many women who are really thankful to a certain extent, of course. Again, not glossing over all of the loss and the struggle and the challenge, especially with losing loved ones or dealing with illness around the pandemic, but really thankful for the opportunity to take a step back, to slow down, and to make some changes around what work life looks like, and even the commitments and obligations that they're taking on outside of work.
It's a big one, that commitments and obligations piece. And I feel like I'm hearing a lot from, and not just during the pandemic, excuse me, but before that too, but this sighing place inside that goes, is this all there is? That place inside of yearning and longing, which are very feminine words, versus wanting. There's like yearning, longing, desire, that when we land on that side of the spectrum and allow ourselves to just kind of, I want a bigger life. I want something more than this treadmill. There has to be something, like I'm getting it all done. I'm showing up. I'm doing my duties. But I am so not fulfilled. I'm feeling really bereft and lonely, even though I'm surrounded by all the things I thought I always wanted. And they're wonderful and I never want them to go away. But where am I? Where is it? Like this is the place where we hit as we get older, I think. When we're younger, we're busy stockpiling all those things we think we want.
Yeah.
Looking for the mate. Wanting babies or not, or the career and all of that, the education and all those pieces. So there's that building time. And some of that happens in conscious creation with, in alignment with that bigger aspect of ourselves. And some of us, it's all come from what our parents expect of us, what, you know, you can be anything, therefore you should be as big as possible, or, you know, really you should be a really great mother, and, you know, or something in between that. Or culturally, there's a lot of expectations on people from different cultures too. So there's that, what age one should be married and all of those things. So there's just all of that that's pressing in. And then there's this part of us that starts to rise up. And I think it must be with that surge of menopause or the perimenopause, where those things, it's like, no, where am I? Who am I in all of this? And what is it I really want beyond the list? And what does that look like? And how can I express it differently? And knowing that I'm more than a list. More than mother, more than daughter, even though I have to care for my aging, my dad's 92, even though I have a 14-year-old son, even though I'm a wife, even though I have a business, even though I have many friends. And yeah, it's like, if I don't stop, I burn out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not alone. It's just the fact we have become disconnected from that which makes us feel good. And that's that biology. That essence, that presence that's pulsing underneath it all. It's so benign and lovely.
Mm-hmm. And again, to be able to tap into that in the lives that we have, in everything that we've built for ourselves,
yeah, which is
so great. Because there's this piece of, you know, it would be really, really unfortunate. And I wonder if a lot of women have that experience of, okay, I don't want to get rid of the life I have.
I don't.
And so I don't want to just, like, you know, run off and leave the kids and, you know, hit the road or, you know, go live like a monk somewhere. And I'm not satisfied. I'm not feeling fulfilled in when I have achieved everything that I thought I wanted or that I wanted or that I built for myself. And then what, right?
Exactly. And that's the point where I hit my wall. I spent 20 years in between marriages looking for that mate. And I was 41 when I got married the second time, and then 43 when I had my son. I thought, okay, well, that's it then. Happily ever after, here we are. And that's when it really started to suck. As I got really connected to the role and not me. Like, this is what a good wife does. This is what a good mom does. And this is how we do it. And this is the things that have to get done every day. And I did not. I remember talking to someone who said, Fran, 20 minutes a day. You've got to find 20 minutes a day. I'm like, oh, that sounds so nice. Not possible.
Yeah. Impossible. Not how is that? Possible. How? Yeah.
You are like, and where would I ever find that? And I really hurt myself badly and nearly blew up everything that I had fought so hard over that long period of time to create, because I had gotten so far away just in, okay, happily ever after. Got it. Got the man, got the baby. And then what? Now what? Is this all there is? We can't stop creating from the moment by moment by moment. But it's not always about some big grand vision. It's about staying connected to ourselves in the moments. In the moments. Day by day. And then creating from that space a bigger life.
And I think something that you had said before about is really key, and that is giving ourselves permission.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't at that time. I just couldn't until I nearly wrecked it all. Yeah, that was very bad time. Very, very bad time. Yeah. And that's when I actually tripped on this Art of Feminine Presence work. And that's when I started to go once a week, one Monday night a week, to another woman's home who brought this work to Calgary. And that's when I started to replenish the cup. It was one night a week. It wasn't outrageously expensive. I could make it happen. And my husband was so supportive of all of it. I just didn't even think of asking for that for myself. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're working, I'm staying home. So therefore, whoever's making the most money gets to call the rules. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. I'm wrong. That is my mother's life. But anyway,
that's a whole different expectation. And oh, yeah, right.
But anyways, it's so complicated. But anyways, that weekly group where I could just come and do what I was sharing, like that tune in. What am I feeling in my body? What am I feeling emotionally? How do I feel in the space around me? How am I connected to everyone else? And who am I in this moment? And getting that practice down, and that I found the oasis. And then I started to build it into my daily life. And then I started to teach it and became a master teacher of the work and so forth. So that's how this came around. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm starving to death spiritually, soulfully, starving. And I think that's the case for a lot of us women, because we are such in such a vice. And it really was about being with a group of women where it was just, we're all doing the same thing and allowing ourselves to be in that space. And it wasn't about examining our vaginas or anything like that, but learning these practices to come back home to our senses, our physical senses, not our brain senses. And man, what a freedom. And that changed everything for me. That was the starting point of another level of recovery.
And in what you shared, and thank you for what you've shared. You know, what I really hear is also that power of community. And we've definitely talked about that on the podcast as well, in terms of community medicine. We can link to that episode, but that, again, that idea of coming together and that coming together of like-minded women to really have that same kind of goal. Yeah. Is, I know for, in my experience, has been so much more powerful than that idea of, I have to do this all myself. And how do I do this all myself? And
you can't and you won't. Simple. And yeah. But the thing too about that community is to really be with people of a like mind, where you can really be seen and heard in a safe space. So it's not about giving advice or telling other people what to do, but just allowing each other. So there's some cycle of receiving. So where we reset the body to start receiving again after pouring it out, giving, doing. And all of the roles that we play, all of them to a great degree involve giving or output, and very little attention on what comes back or where is it coming back from. And so that group of women, that community, is where we can replenish if we're with the right group, which is really important to know when you're starting to fill up and replenish. And for some, it's their spiritual community through their, you know, and some it's a women's group, like I do a mm-hmm. weekly one, but there's all kinds of different ways to do it. And even, or just one good friend who listens without telling you what to do. Someone who really sees, and you can just be you without having to gussy up to go out, or like, you know, all of that. It's mm-hmm. not about yeah. that. I would not have made it through the things that happened for me if I did not have some really great girlfriends.
Yeah. And it's also nice when you're, again, in your 40s. I just had one of these, you know, meetups with one of my good girlfriends where it's like, we're in our 40s. We really don't care about the things that we used to care about in terms of like what things should look like, or but also there is that piece of getting together and you know, validating each other, really seeing each other and connecting with each other, and to a certain extent, commiserating.
Yes.
And then, and then what, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny because there's, so this book that my mentor, the woman who created the Art of Feminine Presence program, she, there's just this one paragraph that I read at any intro or workshop that I do, and I'll just share it with you.
Perfect.
It says, the feminine essence wants healthy, loving attention, and she wants it often. This is not a desire sprung from weakness, but an impulse to grow. Healthy attention is like food and water. If we don't get it, we don't grow. And when we stop growing, we die. It's that important. A woman who is seen by the people in her life stands out by her vibrancy, her health, her skin, and her smile. She is well-fed, and it shows. And that is what we do for each other. Our men can't always fill all those buckets for us. It's they're an important aspect of being seen and heard, but it's not. If we can't receive it from each other, we know how to do that for each other in ways that our men don't always know how. And it's a critical part of life.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. That gave me shivers. I really enjoyed hearing that. Is there a very small practice that you'd be able to share with us at all, or what, you know, in terms of connecting to the body?
They will. Let's see if I can come up with something. It's tend to be something that we need to do together. Mm-hmm. It's not an audio experience as much, although. Mm-hmm. See if I can, just by putting our attention in our belly. So there's a place in martial arts, everyone knows this. This has been around for millennia, so I'm not teaching anything new. If you know Tai Chi or Qigong or any of these things, there's that place that's 3 inches below the belly in women and a little towards the spine, the Dantian or the Hara. And in our Art of Feminine Presence work, we call it the womb space because it's where our kids are born, right? There's that place of, it's where we are born from. And it's our connection where the energy and the power, it's where the battery and the grounding and the anchor of life is and our creative selves. It's all there, that gut feeling, the intuition. It actually is from the belly. But when we're living from the chest up, which our hearts are gushing with compassion and all of that, but they're not connected to our belly. So the hearts gush, but the energy that needs to come back in comes in through the belly. So if there's a way to just kind of sit back and sense that place, and putting the attention of a little light there, a little lotus flower, whatever it is in that space, and just starting to connect to the chair underneath you, the floor underneath that, and just allowing that stability to come in. Breathing into that space. So when I'm speaking to you from with my attention from there. So before we started our podcast, I make sure I come home. This is where home is. This is the home space, home plate. All of that, it's there. And it's not, what am I going to say today? Like I do all my prep and all of that, but then I come back home. So when I am not there and I'm speaking from my head bubble, in the little cartoon space above, I'm not in my body. When I'm worrying, I'm so up and out of my body. So I can how I would talk to you would be completely different. I would be, hey, Tony, like, so great to be with you. And I would be listing all my worries and running on and completely oblivious to whether you're listening or not, but wondering why you're not listening. And why is she tuning me out? Why is she looking over there? Why is she not paying attention to me? Why does nobody take me seriously? Because I'm up here talking without connecting. And so when I come back home, down home, back in the belly, what I say matters less than how you feel when we're speaking. The presence trumps the content every time. Mm. That place of I'm at home, therefore you're receiving me and you're connecting with me and you're more relaxed with me. I don't have to nag to ask for what I want. I can say, honey, could you please take out the garbage before 5 tonight? I have people coming. Suddenly he hears me. Or speaking to my ADHD son, Angus, I need your attention. Versus Angus, sounding like a parrot from the top of my head or down in my body. It's a subtle, potent thing. And so I don't know if that conveys itself very well in this context, in radio podcast, but it's, I hope you can hear the difference in my voice, you know, how it feels to be with someone who is in their head and who's in their belly.
I hope that the people listening really get that difference in that kind of groundedness, that solid kind of power behind what you're saying.
And in that place, when I come from that place, that's where the infinite well of energy lives, the belly, where we can create from that space. It doesn't matter how much sleep you got the night before. If you're home in your belly, you have enough energy. You'll always have enough energy because the infinite wellspring of life from which we sprang crosses over in that space. It's the human body metaphor for the present moment. So when people talk about mindfulness, but how to do it, I say, go to your belly. Just come back to your belly. You'll be home. You'll be in the moment and your mind has nothing to do with it. Mm. Come back home.
That's perfect. That's a really fantastic, somewhat simple, easy, but maybe not so easy, you know, a practice.
Do it.
Yeah. A practice that can be done wherever you are, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
No matter what you're faced with.
And over time, it becomes my, like, oh, it took time, but over time, because of practicing it week in, week out and playing in that field, it became the orientation. It became my primary orientation, my body. So my center of gravity has changed. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we want to cultivate is a physical sensation of our spiritual selves in our body, embodiment, a bigger aspect of ourselves flowing through us that carries us through. But when we're efforting just from our little human self, burnout is inevitable.
That's perfect. I think it's just great for us to kind of like, I think you've just encapsulated everything right there. Now, how can people connect with you and find out more about the practices, about, again, kind of the offerings that you have to support women through all of these pieces?
Well, I really would love to hear from anyone who is interested. I have a website and we'll put all this in the show notes, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. The links will be in the show notes.
So my website is biggerlifenow.com because one of my dear clients, it was her inspiration, the one who introduced us, in fact, Tony, that said, I just want a bigger life. Mm-hmm. And bless her, she's living it. Mm-hmm. Now it's incredible. But so Bigger Life Now is the website. And on Instagram, I have all the links in my Instagram feed too. So again, at Bigger Life Now. And then at Fran Watson 63 being the year I was born. So that's that are some ways to reach me either on Twitter or Facebook, Bigger Life Now, Fran, Bigger Life Now. So there's
perfect.
All of that. It'll be in the show notes. And I do have a little meditation on my website, that tune-in meditation that I was speaking about. It's a free gift that's on my website that will take people through. It's 10 minutes path to presence, I call it, but it's just a moment, 10 minutes to come back into the body. What am I feeling physically? What am I feeling emotionally? What am I feeling energetically? And what, and given how I'm feeling, what do I want? What is my desire? So it's about a 10-minute thing. It's free on my website. So if anybody could take home that one must-have mama thing.
Yes.
It's that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that it's there for the taking. And so just encourage people. So I'll make sure the link's given to you for the show notes. Yeah. And I do have an upcoming workshop on October 17th here, and I do them from time to time. So if you're hearing this afterwards, don't worry. There's always more.
No FOMO.
don't worry. I'm always teaching mini workshops online on Sunday afternoons, once a month or so, various topics, visioning. And then this one coming up is called The Art of Showing Up, Being Seen and Heard as a Woman in Business. So I'm actually taking the practices we've talked about today and really grounding that idea of the head bubble and the belly and how it feels to work and flow from the feminine essence. So playing with that and also playing with boundaries, our energetic boundaries. So those would be three things that I would teach in that workshop. And it's like $47.
Oh,
so
amazing.
You know, you get a little session with me after. So it's... good. And then I do private coaching as well. So you can just reach out to me and check out the website, but just send me a message and we'll chat. I have some 30-minute free consultation so we can just get to know each other.
Perfect. I love that. We will have links to all of that in the show notes so that people can find that. And I'll probably be seeing you on October 17th.
I hope so. It'll be a fun afternoon. We laugh, we cry, we swear.
Perfect.
Like I said, it's a super fun. So anyway, yeah.
Awesome. So, and now you already shared your mama must have for today, your path to presence.
Tune in meditation. That 10 minutes a day, if we can get that, we're ahead. We're in the moment. We're not ahead. We're right in the moment. And from that, life flows. That's the eternal space from which we can really create some beauty for ourselves.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, and now let me kind of switch gears and share my mama must have for the week. Being that we are in fall, in the middle of, you know, the fourth wave, I really want to stay healthy. And not only are we in the fourth wave, but there's all these other viruses and common cold. And I mean, I've talked before on the podcast about how many colds my daughter Frankie has had over the summer. And and so what I think a mama must have, my mama must have right now, is to do the wet warming sock treatment. I don't know if you've heard of this, Fran. This is a classic naturopathic nature cure practice. It's typically designed for when you have the kind of first signs of getting sick. And it sounds completely counterintuitive. So often I will tell my patients about it and call it magic socks. Because I did have a patient once, she was like, that was like magic socks. Because you want to, when you go to bed, take a thin pair of cotton socks, wet the feet, wring them out so that they're like damp, not like dripping wet, but that they're wet. When you go to bed, you put them on your feet and then you put a thick pair of cotton or wool socks over top. So it sounds totally counterintuitive. You don't want to be putting wet socks on your feet before you go to bed. And you don't want to put wet socks on cold feet. You want to make sure your feet are warm first. But as you rest, you'll get used to the sensation. And as you sleep, your feet will warm and dry the socks. So much so that I will often kick off the socks in the middle of the night. And what's happening is that you're stimulating your circulation while you're lying in bed at night. So that stimulation of your circulation is also helping to support your immune system. And if you do have any congestion or sore throat, it can draw that congestion away and down. So, you know, the patient of mine who called it magic socks, I mean, she said she was sure she was getting the flu. She did the wet socks the next day. She felt great. So especially times like these, when I'm kind of on call for a birth and to do birth support and doing all these other things, I don't want to get sick. So I've been doing my wet socks every night just to again, keep on top of things. So
doing that, that's
there you go.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Hey, no problem. Now, a friend, do you have a super mom moment and a mama must mess up that you'd like to share with us today?
Oh God.
Right.
I did talk to my husband this morning before, cause he's like, I'm like lately, you know, he's 14 and, it feels like there's far more like trying to pull things together. But something I'm feeling proud of, and my husband mentioned to me, is that I'm willing to talk to him about this, the tricky stuff, i.e. sexuality and those conversations and finding the books and going past my own comfort zone and the way I was raised, which was not bad that way, but there's so much more available and wanting to open up space for that. My mama super mom things are more aligned with just touching him. Mom can have a back rub. That nursing over the years, even when I didn't have enough milk, I still did that and still made sure we were really connected and physically bonded. And that has stood me in good stead because he still wants that contact, often through a massage or something like that, just giving him a back rub. Because when we can't communicate, we can still communicate through touch, which I'm really grateful for. And we're communicating pretty well, but when that breaks down, that's our comeback to place.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And the mess ups are too frequent to mention, truly. Even with all these practices, I lose my temper. I get irritated and frustrated in it. That's always a sign that I am not present. I'm not fully at home. And so I know what I have to do in those circumstances. And I think back when he was little, one of the mess ups was just that Jim, my husband, and I had a big fight in front of him. And it was in that place where I was so lost. I had all those boxes ticked and I was completely outside of myself. And we had a huge blow up right in front of him. And I would do anything to take that back. But it was a big wake up call and things changed soon after that.
Yeah. So a learning opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for sharing that. And I love that, again, you're tackling those tough conversations with your son. And actually in a couple of weeks, we'll be releasing an episode talking about how to navigate gender identity, sexual orientation, all of those kind of things with kids. So we're definitely, you know, thinking about the same kind of things. Again, like all of the moms out there with kids of various ages, younger and older, of how do we manage this? What kind of conversations do we have? What kind of language? What things can we share? How can we support our kids to be themselves?
Yeah. And he says to me, Mom, I so don't like these conversations. I so don't want to have them with you. And I said, I know, I don't really want to have them either, but I'm your mother and it's my job to go past that place.
Absolutely.
And have them anyway, because if I don't, where are you, you need to know that nothing's off limits between us.
Absolutely. And that he's not going to get everything he knows from outside and from society and from, and who knows what kind of, again, messages that he's going to be taking in, right?
There's no question he can't ask, even if I don't know the answer, even if it surprises me, even if it's like, oh, I want to be the first stop, not the never going there with you
absolutely. Stop. Yeah, oh my God. Good for you. Good for you. I love that.
Well, and, it's in process.
it's a process, right? And again, this is where, you know, my Frankie is just three, almost three and a half. And I'm already like somewhat dreading this. So again, I take in from other moms' experience of like, okay, you know, how to start navigating this now and again, creating that relationship and that connection so that again, nothing can be off limits and she's coming to me as a safe space and her daddy as a safe space to learn and share and kind of discover as well. Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. My super mom moment. I feel like it's not as big as yours.
Well, I only have one shot at this, Tony. this is my week, but you've got to do this every week.
Right. So, but it is pretty big because, I mean, my little Frankie is quite active and we loved having her in gymnastics class last fall that then again got shut down because of the pandemic. Yeah. Now we're at the place where thankfully gymnastics is open, signed her up, and we're just, again, being as safe as we can in going to gymnastics, and she loves it. When I shared with her that she was going to class every day, she would ask, you know, if she was going to class that day, because she just loves it. So definitely a super mom moment to, you know, really find what she loves to do, and again, to keep her safe and to navigate that and those kind of, you know, boundaries and in an important way as well.
Good for you.
And then my mama mess up. Well, the other day I forgot that I had signed up for an all-day continuing education workshop online. And that was on a day that Frankie's day home was closed. So I decided that she would just stay home with me. So then for some reason, I thought I'd try and do both. And it was just an absolute fail. Like I wasn't present with her. I was getting kind of irritated. And I, of course, I wasn't present like with the workshop played in the background. I wasn't taking in anything. It was, and it was a real kind of confirmation and learning for me that's like, no, I can't do two things at once. That just doesn't work. So
no, multitasking means completely unpresent.
Yeah.
Turns out, I mean, darn it.
So anyway, I had to have that reminder, I guess. So anyway.
Been there and done that too many times.
Hopefully this will be the last big lesson around that. Maybe I'll just have small lessons that remind me from now on. But again, thanks, Fran, so much for joining us today. Thanks, everyone out there, for joining us today. Again, you can find our show notes at perimenopausalmamas.com. You can email us, connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. We'd love for you to subscribe and to give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed this episode, and tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone. Take care.
Thanks so much.